Good afternoon, friends. Welcome back. It is a Friday afternoon. We're rounding third, heading for home, and having a good day. Generally, I think the attitude's pretty positive here as the temperature is warm. We've got a couple of good days before a big Arctic blast. So, as we welcome Doug Lear, North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outreach Biologist, are you in pretty good spirits too, Doug?
You know, I think when you say that, like this morning, I stepped outside and like the sun was shining, and yeah. I think you know you go through. You had the Northern Ag Expo, and I had some meetings in Cogswell and in Bismarck, and you get to a Friday, and there's a lot of things wrong in the world. We're not going to blow smoke up anyone's kilt.
Yeah,
you know we're realists. There's a lot of problems in the world, a lot of things wrong, but there's something about getting to Friday and the sun is shining and you go, it puts a little smile on your face, Mick.
Right on. Now, and you usually on the farm, it's, hey, yippee, Friday is here. Only two more work days till Monday.
Yeah.
But this, I think farmers have kind of parked the combine and said, we'll get to that later.
Yeah. Well, and actually, last night when I was driving back from Bismarck, saw a couple of combines, but not many, not many combines rolling. So it holds true to exactly what you're saying, Mick.
There are more unharvested cornfields than combines rolling out there.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's kind of scary.
It's amazing. Well, yeah. So, you mentioned that I heard the word going into the deep freeze.
Yeah.
Who's going into the deep freeze? When they're going into the deep freeze? How deep are they going? And how long are they going to stay in the deep freeze, Mick?
Hello, winter.
Oh, man.
Yeah, last weekend.
Break it to me gently.
Okay, we got a big blast of snow last weekend. Usually, the calm before the storm and the deep cold after the storm, well, it waited a week. So the arrival of some bitter cold air, I guess, is to be expected.
Okay.
This is a high-pressure system that is just going to bring down the first Arctic blast, Siberian air.
Oh, really?
Of the season. So, yeah, well, we're going to wake up on it'll arrive on Sunday.
Okay.
So we still have the calm before the storm. We've got the rest of today and all of tomorrow, which should be very pleasant temperature-wise. The south-southeast wind will have a bite to it, and it will be bringing in a little bit of humidity. But today and tomorrow, if you haven't put your Christmas lights up, if you've got stuff to do around the farm, get her done, because Sunday it will arrive with a 20 to 30-mile-an-hour north wind, and we'll see temperatures drop through the day from north to south, from the Canadian border to the Nebraska border, and that means Minnesota to the Iowa border, and it's just going to be... We'll wake up Monday morning about 5 below, and then on Tuesday morning, 15 below, and Wednesday morning, about 20 below. And Tuesday, Wednesday, sub-zero highs.
Mick, when I said break it to me gently.
Well, that's as... I don't whitewash.
Yeah,
that.
No, yeah. And I mean that's. I think a lot of your listeners appreciate the fact that you're not gonna whitewash it. You're gonna tell us it.
Now it probably won't be 20 below in Huron and Yankton and Vermilion and Sioux City,
right?
But it's gonna be cold.
So you mentioned Siberian. So this is we can't blame we're blaming Vladimir Putin on this one.
We sure could.
Okay.
Yep. I know there's a. Joke in there somewhere, but I just can't think of it at the moment. But
okay, so we got the when, starting kind of Sunday, Monday, and then we got the where, we got the how, how deep and into the deep freeze and how long. What comes after the deep freeze? I mean, so we had the snow, we're gonna get the cold, and then after that, is it gonna be more snow and more cold, or is it gonna maybe? I mean, I know.
I see no storms between now and Christmas.
Now, oh.
There are the 8 to 14-day outlook from the Climate Center of the Weather Service is for above normal precip for most of the eastern half of the U.S., but not here. We'll get a little snow. It'll be measurable snow that'll happen on Sunday and Monday, but I don't see any storms like we had last weekend.
Yeah. Don't take this the wrong way. How come you're not wrong more often?
I wish I was.
I mean,
am actually.
And I'll tell you this will actually be legitimate. Is it seems like in wintertime, your forecast is even more accurate than it usually is. I mean, it seems like I can't say something specifically, Mick, but like in the summertime, we'll hear of like maybe some thunderstorms. Ah, they missed us, or that missed us.
Sure.
But when it comes to like like last weekend's snow, I mean, maybe things slowed down a little bit, took a little longer to get here than we were thinking, maybe, you know, Thursday or Friday. It showed up. Mm-hmm. It showed up. It was just a little time. But you weren't wrong. And it seems like in the wintertime, you're even more right, Mick.
Well, thanks for the backhanded compliment slap.
But, it's free.
Yes. In the summertime, the thunderstorms and hail and tornadoes, they're very localized. It could be across the road, but not in your place.
Right.
But in the winter, everybody gets 6 to 12 inches of snow, 8 to 12, predicted about a foot of snow. And lo and behold, yeah, long into the west of I-29 did happen.
Right.
And, you know, 30 to 50 mile an hour winds, it did happen for pretty much everybody. So, it's easier to forecast winter storms because they're more general in coverage.
Oh, okay. Because, I mean, when you're saying that, it does make sense, as which it seems like time and time again, you're like, well, yeah, the only thing that changed is maybe this shift a little bit, that shift a little bit, the timing. But overall, you know, what happens is going to happen. So winter storms are easier to forecast then, huh?
Well, I should qualify that. But it's kind of like all convective activity, and I hope that term doesn't kind of make people's eyes roll back. But it's kind of like having the stove on simmer. And things just kind of take all day to develop, and you got to get everything's under control.
Yeah.
When in summertime, when the sun is blasting down at the surface of the earth heats the air. We've got rising air, we've got big cumulonimbus clouds, and things are out of control. And it's easier to have a controlled event, a controlled fall, so to speak, in a winter storm.
And that's because of the lower actual air temperatures makes that? Or
mostly the solar radiation, the bubbling of the atmosphere.
No, because when you say that, it's like, you know, you can have a thunderstorm pop up on a Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock, and everybody's, whoa, hey, where'd that one come from?
Yeah.
But you seldom have a blizzard that pops up on Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock.
Especially now with these high-tech computers, and of course, that is part of a problem. Now we've got all these private weather services somebody last week was predicting a Christmas storm already.
Oh, good grief.
Based on a computer model.
For 2022?
Possibly.
No, this isn't this year's Christmas. This is 2 years out. Yes. No, because, and when you, what I, when I, you know, when I rewind back to last weekend, because you were talking about it, like, you know, it's still out in the ocean, and mm-hmm. it's going to come then. Okay, it's finally made landfall. It's like, holy cow, this is 5 days out, and you can say that there's going to be a swath that's going to get 12 to 15 inches, and there was a swath that got 12 to 15 inches.
Yeah, and that's why the Laura Ingalls Wilder books are so interesting to read. They had nothing. There was barely even telegraph, which transmitted conditions, but no, there were no, for even the Veterans Day blizzard of 1942, I think, something like it was like 60 degrees in the morning. Everybody was out duck hunting, and then all of a sudden, you know, a 50 degree temperature drop, and people died because of lack of technology.
It's interesting you reference that, because last Friday night after supper, it's like about 6 o'clock, my wife and I went for a walk, and that's when in the Fargo, West Fargo area, that's when kind of the rain, snow kind of started to begin. And we mentioned that, like, what, you know, this Thanksgiving Day and Friday were just beautiful days. Can you imagine if you're out on the prairie and you go from this beautiful, you know, qualitative, you know, 35 degree day.
And you don't even have a horse for transportation. You're walking like most people did.
And 24 hours later, you got 12 inches of snow.
Yeah. Yeah, and no snowblower, and the snowblower won't start.
Right, and the snowblower, and you did, you know, and Laura Ingalls Wilder, they never actually shut down Interstate. You know, I've watched, they never, ever shut down Interstate. Maybe they had better plows back then. I don't know, Mick.
Could be. Well, better cell phone coverage. I mean, there wasn't quite as much competition for everything.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I will tell you one thing. You know, in my drive to Bismarck last night, when I was mentioning a little bit about the combine, the lack of combine activity, I will also tell you that what really jumped out at me is the day trip of how many sloughs, lakes have open water on them. And as cold as the temperatures that we've had, I started, you know, talking to some of the other people. And said, well, there's, you know, there's Canada geese in the daytime that'll sit out there and they'll keep them open up. And that's been happening for eons and eons. The other thing that's making this time of year even more treacherous when we talk about ice conditions is the fact that, especially maybe more in North Dakota than you have as much in Minnesota, is we have so many reservoirs and sloughs that are creek fed or spring fed, and how wet the fall was, there's been just a constant movement of water coming into those, and that's what's been keeping, you know, water spots open, ice thinner than usual. And you know, you get to where we're at right now, and most people are thinking, well, we should have some pretty good ice by now. We're going, hold the phone. What you said was right. We should have some pretty good ice, but we don't have pretty good ice conditions. So for you know, many people outdoors, this cold blast that's going to be coming is actually kind of welcome to help firm things up a little bit and give us a little more of a foundation.
And a dry cold blast too, right?
Oh, good. Good. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, and that snow that went on top of that first ice, that made things kind of dicey. And when you've got open water spots and you put snow on there and then it freezes up kind of slushy, and that sets up a base of maybe some poorer ice creating conditions. So we're going to have, you know, just to give you folks a case in point, there's two big reservoirs in Stutsman County, Jamestown Reservoir and Pipestem Reservoir, and those have been closed to winter access already for the entire year. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to be allowed out there because there's going to be so much water being released, you know, through the James River and the Pipestem. So that's just one example of some of the conditions we're going to be dealing with all winter long, Mick.
All righty. Well, as I and we'll talk about that here after the break.
Yeah.
As I interview people, this is a radio interview. We don't. It's not a documentary. I always ask for bullet points. But when I interview somebody from the North Dakota Game and Fish Department, a bullet point conversation has a whole different meaning.
We do. We do. We definitely have different types of bullets that we're using this time, Mick.
From your advisory board meetings that were held the last week or two, I want all the bullet points.
Let's do it, Mick.
Okay, right after the break here in the North Dakota Corn Council studio, this is Farm Talk.